Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. We're here till 9:30. Real joins us at 9. We go till 11 till Charlie Pulido comes in and makes some sense of everything right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, good morning. Big accident, huh, Dell?
Yeah, the only accident on a Friday morning was on my route to work.
Oh, that's good. That's always good.
Because it's great when you look at Transtar. Like, they have their live web map to show you what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's only one spot of red and you're sitting in it.
Don't you have a back way?
But I was already on the way.
Oh.
You need to hit that ways early on.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't check ways because it's Friday. I just assumed I was going
to. If you won one of the pours, you could get that. You could download the app.
I've got the app. It's free, John.
Well.
Plus that.
Well.
It's free.
But ways has saved me. So when I was in, I think I told you this. I was in California and I had a. And I was going in the afternoon instead of the morning. Usually after the radio show, I'd take a shower and then go in and do television stuff or whatever I had to do. I'd be able to go in the morning, right? 8:30. Once you wait a certain amount of time, it's going to take you a little while to get to work. Mine isn't too bad from Santa Monica. It was like 16 to 18 minutes, which is not that bad. But one day, I was going in the afternoon. This was on Friday because I had already done the Friday show. The Friday morning show, and I was going in to do, I didn't have to do TV that day, but I had to go write some players up. So I drive in. So I'm starting to drive in, and I got Waze on. And I know how to, by this time, I know the route. It's not a hard route. But one of the ways it takes you on is the 405. And the 405 is this legendary animal of a roadway. It's people it's always
the,
talk about
everything,
the 405.
The
405, and everyone's like, oh my God. It's not. But I take it every morning. It's not bad for me. I drive one exit, like I'm on it for 1.4 miles at 8 something in the morning Pacific time, so it's not that bad for me. But this time it was 3 something. And Waze tells me, and so I'm just looking at Waze, and Waze is like, keep going. I'm like, no, Waze, I'm supposed to go. I think it's messing up. I may have put the wrong address. I may not have put NFL Network. I must have put something else in. So I start to exit on the 405, like, Waze, you're wrong. So I hit the additional routes, right? Mm-hmm. You can hit the additional routes, and it'll show you two or three different ways. And none of them tell me the 405. I'm like, huh? What do I do? I know this way. I just need to take this. And then I say, okay. And in my head somewhere, it's almost like when you hear that somebody's in a wreck and everything slows down, I start saying to myself, okay, I've been here before. Calm down. Waze has always been right 100% of the time. Waze knows, trust your app. This isn't Apple Maps doing some dumbass stuff, which it typically does.
Whoa.
This is Waze. It knows what it's doing. So sure enough, I'm going to go past the 405. Waze, don't
fail me now. Let's go.
I go, and as I drive by, I'm like, oh my God. And it's just red lights in the middle of the afternoon. Everything's parked. There's nobody moving. There's nothing moving. It didn't even give me that as an alternate route. Like, they had 5 other routes. Like, don't do that.
Whatever. Just don't go.
So, I'm just telling you now, wherever you're going
to
go somewhere,
to Waze.
You just hit Waze before you even start your trip. Just make sure there's nothing squirrely going on the roadway.
Right. So, speaking of that, how about we're all, Dell, did you see this? We're headed to London. Thanks to our friends at Big Game Travel. And we want you to join us. I just got this email. We're headed to London for the big football game, and we want you to join us. Big Game Travel. Big Game Travel offers fans first-class travel experiences, and they're taking Houston fans to London for the game against Jacksonville at legendary Wembley Stadium. It's a trip of a lifetime where you get to see all that London has to offer wrapped into a football road trip. Big Game Travel has planned nonstop airfare, accommodations in a 5-star hotel in downtown London, transportation and tours, pep rally, tailgate, game tickets, plus so much more. We're going!
Are we going?
We're going!
I didn't get an email.
I didn't get an email.
You did. You probably got it. Did you get the email?
Maybe.
Are you not?
Maybe you two are going.
Well, I did get that email, but I didn't.
Well, that means we're going. This means we're going. What do you mean? It says travel with ESPN. We're going. This is going to be a great time.
Or is it a promotion? Does it say John and Lance are going to be there?
It doesn't mention us by name per se, but why would they have this? And ESPN is going, and we wouldn't be there.
I feel like we might be giving away stuff for people, but yeah. There's nothing that says we're going.
You know what, I think it's a different show that's going, one that's going to broadcast at midnight there.
Wait a minute. This is perfect for us because morning, 7 hours ahead, bing, 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 we're perfect. It'll be afternoon. It'll be just right. It'll be excellent.
And I have a British accent, so that also makes it perfect.
Are your names different on the list of people who are going?
What if I'm a Nigerian in London? Well,
there's a Nigerian population.
There's a Nigerian population.
What would that sound like, though?
I can't even imagine.
Well, I'm just wondering what that
there is an Indian population.
What would that sound? What about the Chinese population there?
Can't imagine any of them. Well, you probably can.
What would that sound like?
I can. I don't know.
You don't know what it sounds?
I have no idea.
Well,
I didn't see your name on that email, though.
It's got to be. Why would
I didn't see the bench.
How would they have a trip to London with ESPN and we wouldn't be on this thing? That's ridiculous. So we're going.
You want to know how they would do it?
Oh, really? Look. Oh, I see the bench. I see Granato and Raheel. I see Charlie Palillo. We're all going. Well, there's the usual suspects, the blitz.
I think
bing, 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 bing. We are headed.
I think we might be giving away like those spots in the raffle to go. But I don't think
the afternoon show is going.
I don't think we're going.
Oh, I think we're going.
Because don't you?
I think they're doing that to trick our listeners into going like, we're signing up. John and Lance, woohoo, where are we going? And they're like, oh, no, we're not.
What are you talking about? We're not going. We have to be going. I see it right there. ESPN is headed there. You guys, obviously, you guys don't know anything about this station. When they say ESPN is going, we're going.
It's management and sales staff.
That's silly. This is the game. It's the biggest game. London. The Texans are going. Bing, bing, bing.
David Gal and Carla, the boss McGloss, they went to the draft?
Well, did they know?
I'm not joking. They did, I think, with SB Nation.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they do.
Well, he owns it. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to work myself into this trip.
Right, I can't. But certainly.
David's going to London.
Yeah.
David Gow's going to London.
Well, I'm sure he is. And I'm sure we are, too. I'm sure we are, too.
Yeah. I don't think you should have that type of certainty.
Did you ever get that question? Did you ever get the question like, John, you want to go to London?
Yeah, were you asked about it?
No, but I'm sure they're going to talk about it to us in the next month or two. I'm positive.
We're in May. It's
you
in
think
October.
They're gonna wait till June or July to let us know to plan a trip to London? In
Big
October?
Game travel, Dell. You don't know anything about this.
Just because you yell out or say slowly and loudly the name of the travel company doesn't mean you're going.
Big game travel. Big game travel isn't someone in Mexico. You're trying to speak English to them, so you speak it loud and slow. And now they
big
understand.
Big game travel.
Oh, you're going to London.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
See?
Now I get it.
No, that's, you know what? We would not have a promotion where they didn't talk to us about going to London and having, you're going to go with ESPN. The morning show wouldn't be excluded. That's incorrect.
At any point it went down like this. You guys hurry up, get in here. Get in here before John Lance gets here.
let's have this meeting before 9:30.
Listen. We're going to London. Who? Well, mostly operations side, and in one show.
Oh.
That's how it goes. Some whispers, and you didn't hear it.
You're wrong.
Didn't hear it.
That's not how we do things around here. We're going to London. Everybody pack your bags. Okay, get ready. So let's go.
Everybody pack your bags.
Listen, be ready. You want to be ready, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I should start packing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pack now. So listen, you were listening. What's the date today? On May 3rd. And Lance made you a bunch of money this morning. Right now, Lance, the odds just came out from the Superbook in Westgate. The 2020 NFL Draft. The first overall selection will be...
Well, who are the odds?
Well, here we go. Well, who's the pick going to be?
Everyone's going to say Tua.
I know they are. That's why he's 1-2 right now.
Yeah, I would.
No, I'm not.
I mean, he's a quarterback, so I get it. I mean, who went first last draft? Quarterback. What about draft 4? Quarterback. What about draft 4 that? Quarterback. Like, he should be 1-2.
Well, right, because usually the number one overall pick, the team needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's a great pick. Justin Herbert and Jake Fromm are both 6-1. I would take those odds more.
I would 100%. Look, yeah. I would 100%. That's tremendous. I would take Herbert.
Herbert won.
Or Fromm, both of them, at 6-1. See, Herbert really wasn't very good on tape last year. I was expecting him to really be one of the best quarterbacks. I liked him the most because of his potential when I watched him in the summer. He was just not consistent at all. With that said, Tua throws to a bunch of wide open guys a lot.
And he has not played well in the biggest games.
Yes, and he also doesn't have great size.
Nope.
You know, so not that that's mattered the last two drafts.
No.
And he is pretty mobile. So I think that really helps. I mean, Tua should be the favorite. 1-2, I don't think 1-2. I think he should be more like minus 120 or 150,
yeah.
140. And then I think Herbert should be up there. And Fromm, yeah, you're right. And Fromm should be up there.
I think
there
those
well.
Are good numbers. Fromm's 6-1 right now is a pretty good number.
Yeah. Who else? What?
Okay. So at 10-1 is Chase Young from Ohio State. Jerry Jeudy is 20-1.
Wow. Chase Young's already 10-1. Wow.
Yeah. Derek Brown from Auburn is 20-1. Raekwon Davis from Alabama is 40-1. I think that's a nice number.
Raekwon's better than Derek.
Yeah.
Better than Derek.
I'd like Raekwon with his size.
He's got all the traits
in
the world.
You know,
he's not going to go one.
Interior defensive lineman could go.
He'll go
top five. Here's what I'm doing. Walker Little, Stanford, 100-1. I'm going to throw some on it.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a tackle, right?
He's a left tackle. Left tackle.
And don't you know him somehow?
He went to Episcopal High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a monster.
Well,
he's going to be a top five pick for sure. I don't know about number one overall. That's a tough thing.
I mean, it's quarterbacks or pass rushers typically. So
left tackle too.
A tackle, yeah, but not really much. It's been a while. You have to really have a down. You have to have a Hall of Fame caliber tackle and then a down year in the other two positions.
This guy was first team all Pac-12 freshman year.
Pac-10.
Pac-10.
Yeah, no.
Pac-12.
I mean Pac-12, yeah. I was thinking Big 12. Yeah, no.
Pac-14.
It will be soon.
I
get that.
It already is 14.
It's just like you're throwing your money away on a tackle.
So at 100-1, thank you.
Yeah. It can be a 1,000,000-1. You're not going to get there.
I don't know that you're not going to get there.
Yeah, because when's the last left tackle you remember going first? It was Eric Fisher.
Pace?
I mean Fisher. No, Fisher went. Remember?
Jake Long went one in 2008.
Not Fisher. Fisher didn't go first.
Yeah. What's his name? When Joe, the same year. What's his name? Fisher. With Luke Joker.
Eric Fisher?
Yeah,
not,
Eric Fisher
not
went
Jake,
one.
Eric.
No, Eric Fisher went
for
one.
For KC, right?
Yeah. Eric Fisher went
one overall.
Yeah. And then Luke Joker
Orlando
was
Pace
two.
Went number one overall.
Yeah, now that was, now we're going way back to
right,
Orlando
but this
Pace.
Is a special guy.
I know.
Jake, is he special?
He's special.
Jake Long went one in 2008 as well, so he had a couple in the last decade or so. Number one overall.
You got to have down quarterback years, and next year's not a down quarterback year. That's a problem.
Unless we got down, a good quarterback and he got injured.
And down
now,
pass
rush
years.
If our good quarterback got injured.
Here's something. We'll hit, what's your guy's name?
Walker Little.
Is he a senior?
No, he's a junior.
So he'd have to come out.
Yep.
I think the better bet would he be in the top 10?
Because
let me tell you something. Tackle aren't going top 10 anymore. It's kind of crazy right now if you think about it.
That is nuts.
It's been 3-4 years in a row.
If the Texans were picking the top 10, they would have taken a tackle.
They would have taken Andre Dillard.
Yeah.
In the top 10 this year.
Oh, that's great. And they wouldn't move up one spot. I don't want to hear that. I just don't want to hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
I don't want to hear that. I just can't. I just can't hear that.
So did you see that when we come back? So Shannon wants to talk about next year's. Let's just get him in quickly, and then can we or
no? Let's go to the other side.
Okay, Shannon. Okay. Sorry, you have to wait.
Shannon, you're going to get you on the other side. We're through a break. It's going to be quick right here. We just made everybody money. Okay, we just made everybody money. Remember that on May 3rd, and we're all going to.
We're
London.
Not all going.
We're
to
all
London.
Going to London.
Stop
right
it.
Here on ESPN 97.5.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 718 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Man, a lot of good stories today. We told Shannon he'd get in here right away. Next year's draft. Let's go get Shannon in here. What do you say, Shannon?
Hey, good morning, guys. Y'all know I listen to you every morning, not because I want to, because of part of my community service, but I'd like to make some money, too. But I'm sure it was just an oversight on your list that you just missed. I didn't hear Joe Burrow's on there from LSU. So tell me where he's at, and let me make a little money, guys.
Well, I mean, what I would bet him on top five pick. Top five pick.
Yeah.
No, see, his odds. See, I think he's off the board because he's such a good pick. I don't think they want him on there.
Yeah.
See, Tua was 1-2. Joe Burrow's probably be 1-4,
well,
1-5.
I did see, Dell, so what is the story here? I was reading articles in Miami. They were talking about the Bomb for Burrows campaign, and they were hoping that the Dolphins were doing everything they could to bomb for Burrows. Is that currently what's going on, and they expect Joe to just come over and take over for the placeholder, Josh Rosen?
Well, the first thing people wanted to know is that his name is Burrow, singular.
We call him Burrows.
That was the first campaign.
We in the draft community call him Burrows. Burrow.
The Miami media want everyone to know that his name is Burrow Joe Burrow.
Because he's a straight
flat
running
ass. No, it's with a W.
Ass.
Burro is Burro. With an O, not
Joe
a W.
Burro. Joe Burro. So that's what they first wanted you to know. And also, yeah, there's a faction of fans who are in for Tank for Tua, but really the Miami media was pissed off that they acquired Josh Rosen because it may get in the way of bombing bomb for Burro.
I can't wait for Burro. People in Miami to call him Jose Burro.
There is an LSU. Grant Delpit, but Joe Burrow is probably the guy.
And he fits that Hispanic sounding name fits down in Mexico. Burrow. Joe Burrow.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And then when they're mad at him, they can say Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
like that. Bean. Yeah. Yeah, they can do that. Yeah. But you know, you'll never be mad at Joe Burrow. Not if he's your guy. He's gotta beat out Miles Brennan first, but
that's the battle still. That's the thing?
Yeah, that's still the battle.
Okay. Isn't Miles Brennan like the size of Kyle Tucker? How's he going to play SEC football?
He kind of is.
He is the Kyle Tucker. Named Miles Brennan? Yeah. That sounds like a kid who should be right now in a preschool somewhere.
Well,
Miles, get off of the slide and come over here, and we've got to change your diaper.
Well,
Miles?
No. Miles was the top quarterback in Louisiana. And, oh, by the way, he can't beat out Joe Burrow. Okay?
Last time, I remember a top quarterback in his name was, what was his name? Ryan Perillo?
Yeah, Ryan Perillo. He was a nice kid. He was a great kid. High character kid.
Miles Brennan currently stacks up at 6'4", 182 pounds.
Yeah.
Seems like someone.
He is a rail.
6'4", 182.
He is Kyle Tucker.
And he wants to play quarterback in the SEC.
Pretty good analogy.
You might want to put some weight on, Miles.
That is Kyle Tucker.
That is Kyle Tucker-ish. Very much so.
I saw cornerbacks that look like him. And you know what I wrote? A little undersized to play cornerback. 180. What? 180 anything is too small.
To be
Kyler
fair,
Murray's like, why are you so diminutive?
To be fair to Miles, he could fit in Oklahoma secondary because those dudes don't eat either.
Yeah, and can't play.
Well, that's what? The other thing about them.
Yeah.
They can't play.
They can't play. So speaking of can't play, your Astros are struggling a little bit right now. And they're struggling with stopping teams from scoring runs, and then they're struggling at times with scoring runs. Yesterday was one of those times. The guy that everyone rants and raves about, he's got his own fan club, Brad Peacock, struggled. Brad Peacock maybe was not cut out for starter's life. Are we getting closer to the Forrest Whitley time? What's Forrest doing in the minors? We're getting enough out of the starting pitching? Is this what we're... You got enough starting pitching now? It's 18 and 14 now.
So my article, preseason article about the Rockets 3, 4, and 5 just may not be good enough. Okay. All right. Because much like Brian Gain took the entire free agency period off Jeff Luhnow pretty much was at the beach all off season, other than he got Michael Brantley, and then he said, I'm done. Woo! That's enough. That's enough. You know, if quite frankly, the middle relief has suffered. You got Devo that you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen.
You got an idea.
Josh James has been terrible. You know, Harris has been good, but you know Harris is always starts well, and he'll be an all-star, and then he'll have a 9 ERA in the second
half.
That
1 month sample size, when people get so excited about these tiny sample sizes in baseball, I mean, baseball is the analytic sport more than any other sport. Oh, it started it. They're going to know you inside and out. Anything that you do is going to be on the scouting report the next year after they get your sample size. So Josh James, clearly they know who he is, how he's going to attack you, and teams are just ripping him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to be up much longer. I wouldn't think.
No. Move Fromber back in. Fromber was just wonderful. He was great. You move Miley up one, put McHugh in between the two so it's not back-to-back left-handers, and get Fromber back to start, and we'll see what happens. Because Fromber was really good last year as a starter. He came in and out of nowhere, and his name's Fromber. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to hit a guy named Fromber? So do that.
I mean, you're 1-2 and three. Well, we're counting Miley as three, right?
McHugh's your three.
Was McHugh the three to start the season? Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's right after. You've got Miley right now as a little better than McHugh.
No, Miley's been. I think Miley's giving you solid starts.
Look, 3 and 4, okay. They're okay for right now. Miley and McHugh.
They're not champ, but see, that was the whole point. Okay ain't good enough. Winning this division, yeah, well, you're barely leading now, but you're going to walk away with the division. It's a crap division. But this is not the goal. That's not the game. That's no longer the standard here. It's to be the best team in the American League and in baseball. That's the goal. Mm. And not doing anything with this pitching staff all offseason was really, I don't know. Yeah, you signed Presley, which was a really, really nice move. He picked up Osuna last year. Okay, all fine and good. The back end is really nice, but you can't get to the back end anymore. Holy crap. Peacock can't go 4 innings now.
No,
and every other start.
It's just not a starter. You're going to have to. You're going to have to start playing some games with that number 5 spot and start saying, okay, let's play some mix and match and see what happens, because Peacock is just a placeholder anyway. And now if he's not even able to give you it is a little disconcerting that McHugh, who got off to such a great start, had his disastrous start 3 games ago.
Two out of his last three
have been bad. Yeah. The last one wasn't great either. So you've got. I mean, he's given up like 16 runs in his last 15 innings. That's not optimal.
No.
It's not optimal.
Well, I think he can be. But here's the deal. Is he and Peacock both? You expected guys that didn't go 3 innings last year to all of a sudden have the stamina to go 6 and 7 innings. That's not, it's not logical. It's not really, it wasn't the greatest of plans. Fromber was a starter last year. And he had absolutely no chance. He gave Josh James the shot. Josh James couldn't make it, a week into preseason without getting injured. And now he's just a mess. Thank God they didn't get Kluber. Well, Kluber got hit in the arm with a baseball, fractured a bone in his arm. But and so who knows that wouldn't have happened here. But to go into the season thinking that this was going to be okay was not the optimal plan. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. Ben wants to get in here. Let's get him in here before we get break here. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Granado, I saw you in cuffs leaving Prime Social. I was just wondering how you got out of the whole scandal.
I wish I had. You know what? I would have loved to have taken a stand and been arrested with those guys.
Because
I will stand. I will stand with those guys. Okay.
That's right.
I wish I had. Okay, turn your radio down, Ben. Okay, Ben's done. You saw me coming. I wish I had been there, and I would have loved to have made a stance for freedom.
I was headed there. I'm not going to say too much more, but I got into a little bit of a text exchange with somebody that goes, sorry, Lance, it's over. Poker in Houston is over.
It's not over. Guess what? Lions is still open.
I know. This guy's like, no, this was organized crime.
It's not organized.
When there's three or more people, this is organized criminal activity. It's over. Sorry. It's over.
Oh, really? Then why is Lyons still open? Why is the free rolls still open?
It's not. And as soon as he saw the news, he added you an oof. Like somebody who's hoping for poker to go because he knows it's ruining our society.
Well, it is. I don't know how, as a society, it'll be certainly the Roman Empire.
Pokers are
didn't it ruin the Roman Empire?
It was one of the things, yeah.
Well, that and, all the sex with,
Yeah, yeah. And
Caligula.
And
Caligula.
Trying to catch inside straights. But just told this guy's like, this has always been, it's amazing how many people don't understand how the process works. I'm sorry, this is the case. It's sticking. These don't go away. Oh. Goodbye, poker.
Guess what? We've got statutes that say it's a private club, you can play poker.
Yeah, another guy stepped. Well, the argument's going to be, can a private club, there's going to be other arguments. One guy said that he's not sure you could have a liquor license in a gaming facility in Texas.
What are you talking about in a gaming facility? Every country club is this. Every single country club in this city is this.
Oh, and that's, yeah. But, and they have liquor license.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, they have liquor license.
Well, so the argument, that's the argument. The argument is not, this is not organized crime.
Well, then you know
it's
what
not
you could bring.
Money laundering.
Then you know what they would do? They would say, okay, we can't have liquor here. Bring your own.
Look, let's just be real about this. This is going to be a chance. This is Las Vegas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma throwing money to people, fighting to make sure they get rid of this because there's cash cows. There are whales who they depend on to go spend their money elsewhere. This one's not a hard one, guys. And they knew, everybody in the community knew at some point, they were kind of surprised this thing hadn't, Paxton, who shut down daily fantasy football.
James Paxton?
No.
The pitcher for the Yankees?
No. The other Paxton, whatever his name, not Bill. But anyway, Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton said, no daily fantasy. Well, you know what? And so FanDuel's like, out of here.
Yeah.
And you know what DraftKings eventually did after a year? They go, know what?
Let's go.
Middle finger.
Then let's test it.
We're here. And he wants to test it. And you know what they won't do? They won't test it. Yeah. They don't mess with it because they're worried that it's going to be announced as legal. There was a bill set to be announced. It may have been announced yesterday.
Lieutenant Governor.
To regulate poker in the state of Texas. Oh, there was just so happened a raid came the day before, and they said, money laundering, a conspiracy to commit murder,
organized crime.
And then let's take everything out in plastic bags and make it look as bad as we can to jade the public, which worked. Everyone's like, holy crap, this must be bad.
It's not. Why are the other ones still open?
It's not. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Wait until it plays out. This is all part of the thing. You want to get this in the public's mind that it's a bad, dangerous thing. You take things out.
Right.
You make a big raid with FBI and DEA. You bring things out in plastic.
You claim that Robert Kraft is part of a sex trafficking organization.
Well, you don't claim that. You just kind of just throw that.
Well, you throw that to the media.
Well, a lot of times, I'm just going to say sex trafficking, okay? I'm just going to put it out there.
But we watched them do it for 8 months, okay?
Yeah.
And crime's been open for 14 months now, but what? And now all of a sudden, damn it, this is illegal.
No, this is all. It's all going to be. It's all about getting it to court and having a final decision. And actually, the people at Prime and the other places welcome it because then you have a finite answer, and there will be no more messing around.
Yeah.
So that's what this.
I'm not
is
sure
really
they
about.
Welcomed yesterday or the day before. Too
no,
much.
No, they don't welcome that aspect. You know what they say, hey, let's just go to court. Why do we got to do this?
I heard that somebody said you can check and see when they get out, and by at noon yesterday they were still in jail. The guys were still.
How's that possible?
I don't because they were held. I don't know. That was I don't know.
Hold on,
but I can't. I still can't. I haven't gotten a hold of my guy, so we'll find out what's going on. Hopefully, relatively soon. But thoughts and prayers.
That's why we're not there.
Thoughts
today.
And prayers. Freedom, everyone. I want you to raise your right hand.
Yes.
Freedom. Poker. Freedom.
There's a poker shirt that says poker is not a crime.
Yeah, no, I got. I'm getting one.
So I'm looking at this. Forrest Whitley still in Baseball America, the number six.
Forrest Whitley is going to be talked about on the other side. But first, we're going to talk with John Clay Wolf. Right here on ESPN 97.5. We're talking about GiveMeTheVin.com, the miniseries. And John Clay Wolf is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, man?
The miniseries.
It's usually about a five-minute spot with you. So so tell us about tomorrow. What are you going to do on your little radio show?
Well, I've been up since 3 o'clock in the morning riding it, trying to be funnier than y'all, and I know I'm not going to pull it off, but I'm
Going to give it my all, Coach.
No, you're not going to pull that off. Come on. I know you have the longest running show in the history of radio, but listen, what about people? Okay, what's hot right now in the car world?
Mustang GTs. We're overselling those. Corvettes. I had a Sprint Mercedes RV van this week that we overpaid for, and then it wound up making a lot of money. We sold 480 at the auction on Wednesday, which was our second biggest day ever.
Really?
We have our auction in Pennsylvania this morning that starts in 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
I'll watch the simulcast. What's hot is, good beef. I call it American Muscle, sports cars with V8s. And
I thought you called them stripper cars.
Spring cars are hot. Yeah. Diesel trucks are doing real good right now, too. So if you go to givemethevin.com, our computer, it changes the bid every day, what we offer for cars based off of our sales results in Dallas and Pennsylvania, which are the two hubs of the United States for car remarketing. It's not Houston. We've been buying cars out of Houston for 23 years and bringing them to Dallas because they bring more up here. That's why I can pay more at Give Me. I know I sound like a pitch, but it's just true. That's why I'm paying more at givemethevin.com.
You sounded like a pitch on your commercial? Wow. Okay, givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com. John Clay Wolf, listen to him tomorrow morning.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. I don't know why I missed that one, the Carmelo Game of Zones.
Gotta seem it's old. This is the first time I saw it yesterday. I know the Game of Zone stuff. I just don't usually watch them, but they're all really, really good.
Well done.
I've seen a few of them. And the one with the Rockets with Carmelo Anthony, with Mike D'Antoni, Maury, they nailed it. But Maury is rebranded. The beard is a real, real deal with Daryl now. You don't follow him on Instagram or anything like that. Daryl's lost probably about 25 pounds.
I told him. I saw him at the game, and I was like, man, yeah. Congratulations.
He's probably lost about 25 pounds, but his beard, he's a little sassier on Twitter now. He's kind of sassy Daryl Morey on Twitter.
Bearded Daryl.
He also said he also had something, hashtag rise, and instead of, the old hashtag rise and grind, he has one that says rise and wine.
If he doesn't, he should. If you made that up. Okay. If he doesn't, he should.
I didn't make it up.
We taped our TV show yesterday. It's on Cube 57 on Friday nights. And it was embarrassing what the Rockets did last week with the referee thing and whatnot. But the fact that they did it was not the embarrassing part to me. The fact that they made it public was. Mm-hmm. You have to send in videos and you have to make your points to the NBA and say this is what's going on in our opinion. Yeah. that the Warriors are getting an unfair advantage. I don't think that there's any problem whatsoever with that.
I don't either.
The guy that I do it with, Paul Gallant, had a big problem. I'm like, this is what you do. This is what you send in these to the NBA all the time. Where they were wrong was making this public, to leaking this to ESPN, and then it becoming a big story.
The timing, look, I don't think the Rockets would. The Rockets think they're treated unfairly. Somebody on Twitter, so Ben DeBose, right? He writes for a local site, and he's a big Rockets fan.
Or is he, does he cover the team? Or is he a fan?
He has a fan side. I mean, he's definitely a fan. He's not. You're not going to confuse him with somebody who just covers the team.
Yeah.
He's a fan, and the lines have been blurred substantially to where they've almost been erased. I think it's really more fans covering teams other than newspapers. It's primarily fans.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case.
Well, I feel like
there's not as much. And all these,
you say you're a journalist. Actually, I'm not. But if you're covering a team and you're with that team every single day, you can't tell me that you prefer watching another team
that's
winning
fine,
or you're objective about it. You
fine.
Can't be objective
that's
about
fine,
it.
That's fine, but your commentary needs to have some objectivity every once in a
yeah.
while. And I think all objectivity mostly has been eradicated unless your team is playing really poorly or a guy's playing really poorly.
Well, to that point, if you can't criticize, then you can't do your job.
Yeah, whether you feel like I just feel like social media's reach because people can get to you so quickly. I think a lot, you know, newspaper guys, now you're just called a hater if you're objective, which is sad because I don't think people realize there's a much bigger. This turns into actual real life stuff where you can't have now your news is all tainted. Like all of your news now is tainted.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely tainted because you have to pick a side. It's no longer news can't be news. It has to be based on opinion. And I think that's how people cover sports now because of social media and people have access. There is pressure on people to they want to be liked. They want people. A lot of the people who cover sports want to be liked. And unless you're an old school journalist who actually, you know, you actually feel like you cover a team. And I think there's still plenty of those playing, guys
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
There's plenty
like
of those
I said,
guys
Jonathan Fagan, he covers the team.
Yeah, but the amount of – but he is a newspaper guy. The
right.
amount of – when the fan sites are like Pat Starr is not going to – he's going to – he's going
to have the teams back.
Although I think Pat actually does a pretty decent job of being objective at times. But there's no question he's going to be 75 – he's going to be more 80-20 fan.
Yes.
I think – and that's not taking a shot at Pat. That's – he has a fan site.
Well,
State
he's
of the Texans.
Got one team that he covers, and if you think you can be totally objective, you're an idiot.
Well, and these guys
you can't
are,
be.
No, and these guys are not going to school to learn to be objective writers and how you decipher things and looking at both sides. That's just not going to be the case for fan sites. And fan sites are huge now. They're huge. There's tons of fan sites for every sport. And I think one of the things that's happened is because the fan sites are so heavily trafficked by other fans, it's really turned into an echo chamber where everything and one of the guys who listens to us, Eric, he sent a message yesterday saying, "Boy, this guy is one of my favorite national guys, but I'm really disappointed to find out he's like openly cheering against the Rockets." And it was Ryan Russillo, where Ryan Russillo openly admitted, I don't want the Rockets to win. I think they're a bunch of crybabies and yada yada." And he had gotten into a long battle with Ben DeBose. Ben is very pro Rockets, and he's going to put the cape on and go to battle. And I say, and I like Ben, but I mean, he is going to do that. He's not going to be out there like, you know, telling Rockets fans, "Well, wait a minute, if we would have just done this better, this would have been a win." He would, and like, he's going to be on the fan side. And so Ryan Russillo and him got into it for a while. I had to go back and look at this string, and I was surprised that anyone – I said, yeah, I didn't think this was a big surprise. The Rockets are one of the least liked teams in basketball. I didn't think this was a surprise. That's going to include – by the way, it's not just fans. It's going to be national media.
Yeah.
Some of them won't openly tell you they're cheering against the Rockets, but I would say a majority of national people will be cheering against the Rockets for one of these reasons. Number one, they have a history of not being quote-unquote likable, dating back to when they added James and then Dwight Howard, who was – James was not really – he wasn't very polarizing when he first came in. But James plays a brand of basketball and tries to draw fouls, and they've showed the video. It's pretty damning about uncontested threes, how he jumps straight up and down, and then all of a sudden where he kicks his feet way, he lands like 2 feet further when he's trying to draw fouls. It's about the most damning video that you can see relative to what happened the other day. And it's why I don't think it was clearly not a foul.
You can't believe all video.
And yeah, clearly. But style of play, James trying to game the system with free that's
whining.
Well, that's one thing. But the Pat Beverly, Dwight Howard, all that, you know, those were not likable guys. Josh Smith, those are guys a lot of people didn't really care for. Now, I think this team was a hardworking, and now Chris Paul they had. You know, Chris Paul is not really well-loved around NBA circles. I don't know if you know that or not. But I thought last year's team was so much fun to cheer for, and this year's team too. They're grinders. They play hard. They get after you defensively. There's a lot of reasons to like them. I didn't think they were imminently dislikable relative to when you have irritant like Pat Beverly on your team, Dwight, who's the diva. I got all that. I understood all that. But right now the problem is you got James, who people don't like, a lot of people don't like. You got a style of – and Chris Paul. You got a style of basketball that is really not liked. But the whining thing is a big, big problem for a lot of people.
By the way, this – and I'm going to call it playoff – playoff D'Antoni basketball is even worse because at the very least before, I mean, look at the scores that the Rockets were putting up, their average per game. They're down in everything. And so you hold the ball, dribble the ball, use up the shot clock. By the way, that's another problem. I know that they play small, they play slow, and everybody thinks that D'Antoni offense, it's not. They play slow, but my goodness, it's even worse. It's even, it's like watching paint dry when they're missing all these shots, when they're taking two seconds left and have to throw something up. It is. It's even more exasperating. So I could certainly see where what is likable. Where is there any basketball? Where is some beauty to this game? There's none.
Yeah, I get it. And that's why I said there's a variety of things where different people are cheering against the Rockets. I'm cheering for them. They're my home team. They're my local team. I enjoy watching them. But I get it. And you know, sending something in with like there was 81 calls missed the day after. A game where you complain about the calls.
About the year before.
Yeah, that.
Good Lord!
If you don't, if you're not objective enough to understand why that would irritate people, then you're just not being you're just not being open minded at all.
Right. All right. 746 ESPN 97.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. We got to hit a break. If you want to get in, come on.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is pain gone away?
No, I still there. Still tough, especially when, bright lights, but I can see y'all a little bit better, so that's all that matters.
Will you practice today?
Yeah.
And as far as the next game, you're good to go?
I mean, if I play barely saying last game, what makes you think I'm going to sit out game three?
James, is there any treatment that you're doing, or is there anything?
Yeah, I went to go see your doctor yesterday. He landed. He said I'll be good.
So James is ready to go. He got a little pissed off at Berman when he said, "So you're going to be able to play in game three?" He goes, "Well, yeah. If I could play in game two, you think I'm going to sit out game three?"
That's what I'm saying. This whole James's vision is better. James came back in the game and shot okay. His vision
he shot better than he has.
Yeah, his vision's fine. His vision's going to be okay. Do you? Does it matter? I'll be honest with you. You think Utah Jazz fans with Stockton alone ever cared that people didn't like them? I don't think they cared.
No.
Why is it important to Rocket fans? Like, listen, if you're going to complain all the time about all officiating, I think some of the officiating has been bad, but if that's going to be your thing, and it's every tweet and every other tweet, and it's every and you're turning stuff into the league and you're always complaining about it, and I mean from the top down with the Rockets. It starts at the top, and then we see it with the players. You can't be upset when people don't care for you or think you whine.
Yeah,
you
but wasn't there, different reason, though, that you didn't like the Jazz since you didn't like Stockton
Malone? Yeah, they were a bunch of trick-ass tricks. Yes.
Well, I don't know about trick-ass tricks, but the
they were nut punches.
The
they were
horny
floppers.
Side of the face.
Well, that was just him saying hi to his kids on
the Brian Russell misspelling his name.
Wait a minute. You had issues with the Jazz being nut punchers and floppers?
Yeah.
Isn't Guess that what?
No, this is different. No, we're competitors.
No.
And people who get fouled a lot.
You have a
We get fouled a lot, Dell.
You have a multi nut puncher and you have floppers.
No. Yeah.
Some of that is combined in one guy.
Yeah. Okay, first of all,
maybe what people would if you rank the floppers in the NBA, I think most fans would say James is number 1.
Yeah, James would be number 1. James has over 90 fouls on 3-point shots. Second place is in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the biggest flopper. They had the video showing how he creates his yeah, I mean, come on. Are we really going to act like this doesn't exist?
And
I love that James can get these threes. I embrace it. James is a giant flopper who has learned to game the system. And because of that, my team gets more free throws and a better chance to win. I don't think it's any surprise that the Rockets have 120 total wins in 2 years while James gets to the free throw line more than anybody else, and especially because he's learned to game the system from three. I don't love it. I don't love that
you
do
that. Why don't you love it? Why don't you care?
I don't love that you do that, but as long as it's going to be a rule, then yeah, take advantage
of it.
Why
don't you love? I don't care. I don't care what other people think of the team. Win.
I like
win. That's
it. I like he gets to the free throw line a ton. And you know what? I know he's game in the system. I know it's a flop. I don't care. He's getting there. I'm going to be Jazz fan. I don't care if you don't like my guys.
Yeah.
I don't. But I'm not going to sit and complain like, wait a minute. No. We get a ton of free throws because James does trick people, and I'm glad that he tricks people.
Yeah, but for whatever. I mean, honestly, we've been the city. We have been the stepchilds of every Major League Baseball playoff. We get the crappiest time. That we don't get the right attention from the national announcers hate the Rockets, Texans,
yes,
or
that's right.
Whatever.
Yes,
I mean it's you. Oh, that, you notice? Do you notice that the Texans get every Saturday noon playoff game? Every Saturday noon playoff game.
And they perform to the level that they've been.
They
treated.
Sure do. They sure do. Except when they find
the
veritable Connor Cook.
Yeah. No, hold on. You've complained about Astros and their times in the playoffs.
Well, but that's right, because there is some truth to it. It absolutely is true.
But I think one of the things is you got to look at who I think it's incredibly inconvenient for fans and for sports talk hosts. I've done sports talk shows at 6 a.m. at the other station. At 7:90, I did it with multiple hosts at multiple times. Not at multiple times. Every year in the playoffs, it was either going to be the Clippers, the Portland Trail Blazers, Golden State Warriors. We were constantly half. And then when they're home games, they started at 8:30, or sometimes even like we even got late games at home.
Well, I can't. You know, one of the byproducts is guess what? You're playing the West. You're going to have the late game. You're going to have the late games because you're in the West.
Except not the Memphis Grizzlies, who have been in the playoffs most of the time. Not the Hornets.
Well, unless
they
were
Pelicans,
playing an LA team.
Grizzlies.
If they were playing an LA team, they were going to get that.
I know,
or a California team.
That's one of the things. It's inconvenient, but it's not that unusual.
No, but having the noon game all the time during the week when you're the Astros, that blows. And that happens all the time. But that's what we are. That's it. And so we always get jobbed.
But this is where it started. This is where it started from. Houston legitimately used to get jobbed. They weren't even on the front cover when they won the World Cup was on. The front cover. The World Cup was on the front cover instead of the Rockets beating the Knicks. And the World Cup was way below NBA basketball at that particular time. Way below in this country. And it still, well, I don't know. I think it still is. But we're talking about 94. The Rockets didn't even get the cover. Like, it did feel disrespectful.
Well,
it did feel disrespectful
to
local teams.
It was the first time the World Cup was ever in this country. I don't even know the event. Was it the final? Was it the World Cup final?
I think it was because it was in the middle of the summer. I mean, it probably would have been.
Well,
yeah.
The World Cup's in the middle of summer.
I think it was World Cup final. I don't know.
Who knows?
I just know they had to make a special. Oh, okay. Sorry for all your complaining, Rockets fans. Here's a special cover edition we'll make just
what
for you.
What was it? Sports Illustrated or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a big deal at that time to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Obviously, you don't even know if they're on the front cover of their digital splash page anymore.
Oh, really? Because the Astros were on the front cover 3 years before they won it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that was a big deal when they won it. We all had the two pictures.
Yeah.
That was a cool deal. But
all right, 758.
We have been disrespected in the
We always get disrespected.
Times.
Oh, well, that's us.
And I think some of that leaks into Rocket fans right now. But, I mean, I'm not going to – it's hard to complain if you get most of the call. We get a ton of calls. I can't complain when it's not an actual foul. I'm just when it's not an actual
you still
foul.
Have to complain.
And I still like for
it's
them
still
to,
the job as still, a fan to complain.
I still want them to play better. I like having discussions about what they're doing well and what they're not doing well. It can't always go back to officials. Mm-hmm. Like that's boring.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Top of the hour on a Friday, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5.